I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. He is the source. He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with his love. Everything that I should need, he sends it down from above. Yes, God has smiled. Yes, God has, oh, he's
smiled on me.
He has set
me free.
I know my
God has
smiled on me. He's been good to me.
A light unto.
To me, he's my all in all. God has smiled. Yes,
God has.
Oh, he's
smiled on me.
He has set
me free.
I know.
Good to have Brother Jay back.
Yeah.
You know, I heard about his problem there a couple months ago, and I thought, Lord, no way in the world. You're not going to let the devil take Jay from us at all. I said, I want him right back here like always. I need that brother. I need that preacher. I need every one of you. I just love the way that Jay gets out of the way. It's an example to me. It's an example to all of us. You know, you never get anywhere without a real desire, a real closeness. And the thing is, every time you just pull up to him, he's right there. He's right there. He can't wait for you to pull up to him. I was watching a little skit, you know. It breaks me down every time I see it. Just a little play, church play, you know. It's got a song to it and all. And it shows how God will come to you, you know, and you have fellowship with him. And it showed that they were pulled away, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, to the point where there's almost wanting to take their life. And the Lord was over there just, you know, I'm still here. But she was over there with the cares of the world, you know. And then she threw that gun down. She reached one time. And here he comes. And he pushes them all away.
Amen.
And he rescues her.
Amen.
And I think, Lord, that's what you do every time.
Right.
I experience that every day of my life. It's so real to me.
Right.
I don't know how I could ever express it. It's so real, personally, to me. Like I said, Sunday night, in one sense, I don't need nobody.
Right.
But in another sense, I need the body.
Amen.
You know, it's a personal walk. I know that.
Right.
And I just love it that way. I'm so thankful he's revealed himself to me. Amen.
I'm thankful to be here. You know, you got to get in line here. You can't even wait until service starts. You got to get ahead, you know. And I was just thinking, I want to bring it, you know. Today's my mom's 60th birthday, and it really got me reminiscing on life, and the kids are starting school. Life happens fast, you know. I've had a good life. And that's just one of those benefits of what we get here, you know.
Amen.
It's just a small little thing, having a blessed life on this side, because there's that life ahead that's so much greater. And, you know, I was thinking about my mom. She's been a blessing to literally every single person in this church, you know. And I was just wanted to, like, just say, you know, thanks, Mom, for all you've done, you know. Because, you know, I think about the progress. My parents brought me here.
Yes.
And I got to sit here and listen to this amazing message. And it has changed my life.
Amen.
And I'm watching it change my children's life.
Yes.
You know, I also was thinking, I can't sing. But I always want to give everything, because it's not a gift until you give it.
Give it.
So if you guys could help me sing, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way, long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord.
Come before me with praises, and whatever you have, whatever gifts God has given you, to use it. I come before the congregation. I'm surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses.
Amen.
I see the testimonies. Brother Jay, you just seen you bless me.
Yes.
We don't quit. We don't back up.
No, therefore.
I claim my healing. I'll never go blind.
No.
I'm healed. Yes. I'm an overcomer. I'm a believer.
Yes.
Come on, Christy. And I come offering what I have to give to
the Lord.
I pray that you are blessed by it.
Can I say this just real quick while y'all getting
Amen.
Ready? I just want to really get in here. I just want to tell God, I say, Lord, I'm sorry, because when James got up and I felt led to just walk around the church, and I didn't. I was like, I don't want to get in his way, but lean not to your own understanding. Because right then, here they go, going around. And
there
I was like, missed my blessing. I said, but I'm going to get on this train, and I'm going to get the end of it. And then the other part I just want to say real quick is, I had a client, and he would cry. And he said, I don't want to die. And he just kept saying, I don't want to die. He told my husband, he said, I don't want to die. And I don't know. The Lord just put it on my heart. And I said, you don't have to die. I said, you don't have to die. I said, we're just going to pray right now. He took my hand. I said, Jesus, come and get you. He said, Jesus is going to come and get me and take me up there. I said, absolutely, 100%. Because what was on my mind is what I bind.
Yes.
You know, and it was like, he believed me. And he took faith in those words. It wasn't just me. It was the words that I was giving him. And then he looked at me and he said, thank you for saving my life.
Yeah.
All autism. Can't hardly speak.
Ooh.
But God moves.
Yes.
God is a healer.
Yes,
God
is.
Can take anybody with any disability. And he does it. He trumps the disability. Because the faith that they have has nothing to do with a disability. So I just want to thank God today for that little fella that touched my heart, that he will say, I don't have to die. And then he said, Lockett came around, he said, tell your husband what you told me. And so I tell Lockett what I told him, and he said, he telling you right, you believe that? He said, I believe it, I don't have to die. And I just want to thank you so much for this revelation that we get here.
While we get ready, I have one more thing to say. This song means a lot to me because there was a little woman that she took a wrong step. And once you took it, it's like you just keep falling and you can't stop yourself. And down at the bottom of the pile where she was flawed. She had six husbands. She had messed up, and you think you can't get up because there's just no way up. Jesus made sure, he said, I've got to go this way. He went out of his way to go see that woman.
Right.
And even though she was messed up, he still wanted her. And so I'm just glad that God came by my path.
James, you choked me up. That song, I just am grateful. You know, 60 years I've been in this. That's a long time. You know, I thank God because I was telling Brother Moore today that he gave me parents that knew the Word of God.
Right.
Yes. That loved the Word of God for our day.
Yes. Yes.
And then he brought me to this church.
Yes.
And we are the revealed truth.
Yes.
And then he gave us a pastor, and I said that he took it from a one man that knew it to a body that knew it. And I'm grateful. And during that time, he gave me a husband that has led me naturally and spiritually and been so good to me. And then look here. Behind are my blessings. Look at my children and my grandchildren. And tonight, Michelle's getting baptized. And I'm so grateful. And you know, if I could tell these children, seek God first.
Amen.
And all these things shall be added unto you. And you know, if you're going to get someone that truly loves what you love, you got to get it where it's at.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful because the Lord allowed me to do that. I could have not had that. But he had grace and mercy on me. And I'm thankful. And kids, keep this in your heart. Babies, just seek him because he's real. And I'm just going to sing that song, Fill My Cup. I was going to ask you to do the one. But let's do Fill My Cup because that's what's important.
Yes.
You fill it up with the right thing.
Yes. Right.
And that's what matters.
Amen.
I don't know if that's the right key for me, but we'll see.
Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here is my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Amen. Amen. God truly has done that. God has truly filled our cup. And he has truly made us whole. And we thank him for that. It is so true. Anything can happen in this world. You know, but God saw fit to let us, me and her, come to this truth of this church. You know, I could have been anywhere. There's churches all around here. Message churches. But God saw fit for me to be at the fountain where the truth is. Where the word is 100% pure. Where we have balance. Like Pastor said, there's places you can go that they believe the prophet, you know, and they see their message and they see their day, but they don't have the balance and they don't have the freedom we have. We don't have a ball and chain. We have 100% freedom. And I thank God for that. And, you know, we've started a new little thing. In the morning, we drink coffee, get up early and drink coffee and talk about the word. But now we're taking the word and we're reading the promises and just going through it. And there is such a truth in that. Pray and read the word and you'll get strength.
Yes.
You know, my brother said it and I said, thank you. My elder told me and I said, let's do that, honey. Amen. Let's pull the word out. And let's read it. Amen. I thank God for this revelation. Amen. It's the thing. If you see my family, we only got one of our granddaughters out here. The rest are all here. And it's just God. It's just the grace of God. Yes. It's nothing we did. No. We just applied the word. And like today, James, he was an example to me. I told him, I said, you need to walk down the street, down the incline, down the road, and back up again. And he did it. Amen. He did it. And I thanked him for it. And he said, what good does it do if I don't apply it?
That's right.
And that's the same way with this word. If we don't apply it to our families, we don't apply it to our lives. And God speaks very clear to us. He speaks right out of the mouth. And it's not that hard to hear it. It's not that hard to understand it. And when he talks, he's talking to all of us. All we got to do is apply it. I just thank God.
Amen. Looking forward to hear what the brothers have to say this evening. You know, we all went to the wilds here recently. And that tour bus driver we had, she mentioned eagles, and she was mentioning something about their eyesight, which it triggered me to start reading about it, because always when you talk about eagle, I always think about the four beasts that God said he would send to combat the four horse riders.
Right.
And history bears out that that was true.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you can look it down through the ages and see what the horse rider represented and what Satan was going to do. And the people with the spirit that they needed, God promised and delivered it. But But I started reading about the characteristics that an eagle would have. And maybe y'all know this. I didn't know this. The first one's kind of obvious. You know, an eagle is not an owl.
No.
He does not operate in darkness.
No. Yeah.
The eagle's at his best when it's the brightest.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here, eagles, 100% light. But the thing that really blew my mind is maybe y'all knew this, but I was reading and it said an eagle, when there's a storm, other animals will run from it. But an eagle sees a storm and uses that as an opportunity to fly even higher.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought of Jay. I thought of this body. When the storms come, we're flying higher.
Amen.
You know, I appreciate all the testimonies, and I was appreciating all the word that's been coming forth. You know how Pastor Moore says, you know, it's not a gift unless you give back. You know, and I've been trying to tell my kids the same thing because they have amazing voices, you know, and I try to tell them for their school, they'll stand up and they'll go for the solos. But I was like, but you don't give back to God. And I was like, he'll take it away from you if you don't give it back to him, you know. And I've just seen that in just different aspects and different people in my life. And I'm thankful. And I kept thinking, I was like, I don't really have a gift to give. And I was like, but I know a gift I want, and I would love to have a gift of voice. And then I thought about, you know, Pastor Moore's testimony where he said, you know, I just sat up there at the piano and I just started hitting the buttons, you know, and eventually it stuck, you know. So I was like, if I get out there and I sing a song, eventually maybe it'll come.
It'll be all right.
So I'm going to sing a song real quick.
Thanks, sis.
You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ear so I could hear your voice so clear, so I could hear the cries of sinners, but cannot wipe away their tears. You gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who never heard. But with my eyes I see a need for more availability. I see hearts that have been broken, so many people to be free. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say. Do use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you.
Amen.
Now I'm giving back to you all the tools you gave to me. My hands, my ears, my voice, my eyes, so you can use them as you please. I have emptied out my cup so that you can fill it up. Now I'm free. I just want to be more available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say, do
to show someone the way and enable me to say my storage is empty and I am available to you.
Amen.
Amen. That'll be the last one.
You know, I feel like such a big crybaby today. But you know, God has blessed me so much. And James, you just have blessed me so much. Just, you touched me so. And I am so glad you're here with us. I mean, my heart was just so heavy for you the whole time. So I'm just so thankful that you're here. And I'm so full. And I just, you walked up there and you just tore me up. Just tore me up, you know. Just to see that strength that
Amen.
You have. I'm so grateful, so thankful. I'm so glad to be an eagle myself and to be amongst all the eagles, you
amen,
know.
Amen, amen.
I'm so grateful that I got to meet you, Sister Dawn. If I had met you back in 80, I believe, I wouldn't be here. We've known each other for a very long time. And, you know, I know Sister Michelle is getting baptized. Your dad baptized me. You know, I remember all that. Brother Baker, you know, the little church, the whole thing. Just, you know how wonderful it is just to know who I am and to be able to stand
yes.
here and to Amen. Know what I know without a shadow of a doubt as to who I am and to just be able to Amen. Give myself, you know, to the Lord. It means so much to me. And I can look at each and every one of you. I love you guys so Amen. Much. You know, we're a true body. We're a true body. We feel
yeah.
what each other feels when we're going through something. We go through it with them. And I'm so grateful to have somebody, you know, a body that will stand with me, you know, when I'm not at my strongest, you know, somebody that's going to hold me up when I need to be held up. Because I have no doubt that if I was in your situation, you guys would come to my rescue as I'm yours, and I am so thankful for that. I'm just so full, and I don't know what to do with myself today. You're such a blessing, and I love you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Let me get these announcements out of the way. Don't forget there's a wedding Friday at 4:30.
Amen.
Kevin and Sway are getting married. And September 9th is the Fox Rodeo Hollow. Fox Hollow Rodeo, I'm sorry. I just signed up back there, so don't forget to sign up. And September 10th, we got the pictures. September 29th will be the bonfire at Brother Caleb's. So let's sing There Is a Fountain. We'll get him up.
Yes.
54. And the only belief. A fountain filled with blood. Thank you.
Back in the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to have you here. It's good to see that you all have something to say. That's not a bad thing. Well, I think I need them to bring up the wireless mic because here it is down under here. So I've got some brothers that's going to be getting up tonight. I actually said Sunday we have two, but we got three. And I forgot to mention him on Sunday. But we're going to have Brother Kevin tonight, and then we're going to have Brother Seth, and then after that, we're going to have Brother Dwayne. He can finish it off, the church teacher. He's our Sunday school teacher, and it's good to have a Sunday school teacher because he's all of your kids have gone through there. For many, many years with him and Sister Michelle, and they've been working hard back there, and it's good to have them. So I'm going to get Kevin up, but before I get him up, I'm going to sing something. I feel like I ain't sang nothing today. And then, let's see, I keep falling in love with him. I love that song. And then we'll have Kevin come.
Yes, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. For he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Falling in love over and over and over and over again. Yes, I keep falling in love over and over and over and over and over. The days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I.
again. God bless you guys. You guys can sit down. Thank God for being back one more time. You know, the one thing I love about this brother's getting up, I thought about it. It's nice to have God use us and speak from where we're at. And, you know, it's a blessing because, you know, if you're sitting in your seat and no one knows what you're, you know, going through or what's going on, no one knows if you're a believer or not. You just be faking it. And I love the fact that we can speak from where we're at. It's a great thing, and I love it because, you know, there's times I'll be sitting in the seat and you'd be burning. And sometimes you can't even get to testify or anything like that. And now God's given the opportunity for the brothers to speak. And I do appreciate that a lot. I do, because in most churches, you can't get that at all. And we're blessed here that we can even do that. I mean, not even the brothers and sisters, too. We all have something to say. So I thank God for that, because God has been, he's real. He's a real God. And I've said it before, God's in this place. He is. And I thank God for that. So if you guys can, I would like you to just turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. All right, and it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness, unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" So we're reading that. I guess you kind of a little bit know what I'm leading towards. that's only fitting because I am going to be getting married on Friday. And, you know, I thank God for being in this message. I have. And the one thing that I have learned, if anything, is to find a mate that loves God. And it's a very important thing. It is, because, you know, if you don't have that common denominator, your life will be hard. It will be hard. And it's not saying you can't make it. We know that. There's a balance in that, too. You can make it. Just be harder. And we've all been taught well here. And, you know, to say that you don't know is an excuse. Because you do know. You just choose to go the other route. And you want to make your life hard. So so my title that I chose is Choosing a Bride with Character in This Day. So that's what I came up with. And to get a little background with me and Sway, I mean, a lot of people don't know. I met her when I was on Facebook. Everybody on Facebook. you know, and I sent her a message probably about, I don't know, she probably can say, about at least maybe 10 messages. And I was thinking, this girl's ignoring me like crazy. She is ignoring me. And I think what she was telling me, I have a boyish look. Of course, everybody knows. I have a young look. She finally gave in, and you know, we talked the first day, and the first thing I've ever told her, I said, "Hey, do you have God in your life?" You know, and that was something important to me. I wanted somebody who loved God. I mean, that's just, I can't speak for everybody else. You know what I mean? And that's not me judging nobody and like that. You know, like I said, you choose the life you want to live. Right. It's up to you. I mean, it's your life. God has given us the ability to make that decision. So, and I thank God that I just say, you know what, this is what I want for my life. I didn't want my life to be up and down like that. I just didn't, because, you know, I don't know who said it, but it's hard enough to be with somebody who is already a believer. You know, that's hard enough. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, if it's hard enough with the believer, it's going to be very hard to somebody that don't even believe God. So you really just put yourself for failure when you're doing that. That's all you're doing. You're creating a problem for yourself. And, you know, you might get caught up with the woman having all his looks and the guy had big muscles and things of that sort, but that's not what marriage is really about. That's not what marriage is about. God did not intend for that at all. You know what I mean? And when he married us, he wanted a perfect bride, but he wanted somebody that loves his word. Amen. That's what he wanted. At the end of the day, that's what really counts. You know what I mean? And so sometimes we get caught up with looks and caught up with muscles and caught up with this and that, and God ain't in all of that. You know what I mean? When you're young, you think about that. I mean, you want the prettiest girl, you want the biggest man, this, that, and the third. But as you get older, you realize, you know what, that's not important. It's not important at all. You want somebody that's going to stand the gap with you, that's going to just leave this word with you, then walk with you. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, that's a very important thing. And I told myself that's what I wanted. You know, like I said, I've had friends that, you know, even in this church that, you know, have made a decision. And you know what? And I still love them at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Because we've taught here, don't judge in that sense like that. You know what I mean? Because they're gonna still make it. They're gonna be okay. It's gonna be hard. Yes, it's gonna be hard. It's just common sense. It's gonna be hard, but they're gonna be all right. And I thank God that, you know what, we even have a balance on that. We don't even have to worry about that in that sense on this side, because that's just on this side. When we get over in glory, we don't even have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that. So I thank God for that. I really do. So, like I said, going back to me and Sway, we've talked, and you know, she finally gave in. So, you know, I'm talking to her and stuff, and you know, I told her that, hey, you know, this is the church I've been going to since I was, you know, 10, and you know, told her my upbringing and told her how bad I was and things of that sort. So it wasn't a secret. I was bad. I was, but you know, as I matured and gotten older, I took this thing serious. You know what I mean? And it can change your life if you just yield to it. It will. It will change your life. It really will. If you just yield to it, God can make things happen. He can. But you have to be open to God and stop shutting God in. And you know, one thing I love what Brother Moore said, which I've learned even older, as I got older, stop boxing God in. Because when you box God in, God can't help you. He cannot help you at all. And I've learned that so much over the years. Like, well, you got to just let your hands be free. Let God work. God can do anything he can do. But we limit our own. We limit our own in our thinking. We do. I'm guilty of it. I'm not saying like I got it, because I've been guilty of it. God knows I've been guilty of it, because you put God in a box. God can't do this. God can't do that. We got living proof with this brother Jake right here. And I thank God that he's here, because I told Sway, this is just me. And I don't often tell Brother Moore. I said, I want Jay to be at my wedding. But that's what I wanted. I did. I wanted that, because I said, Lord, you know what? I want Jay there. I didn't think about the circumstances, because it was rough. Think about it. He's had 2 liver transplants. And God ain't in that. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. He's came in and got up here and even sang a song with his family. If that ain't a testimony in itself, that's a testament to all of us that he pushed through. He pushed through. And it's a miracle that God has worked with him. And I thank God for that, because we serve a real God. We really do. And I can't give God enough praise, because this body is strong. Amen. It is. And we don't bat an eye. Sometimes we come in here, we take it for granted. We come in here sometimes, come in church late, if we come at all. And I'm like, Lord, shake us, man, because this place is not a playground. This is not a frat house. This is not a college dorm. This is God's here. Amen. God is real. He is a real God. And I'm talking to myself too. I'm rebuking myself. The only thing that I'm getting myself too while I'm up here. I am, because I mean, you have to really, really focus on what's really important in life. It's not about getting a career. It ain't about that. It's not about how much kids you can have. It ain't about the biggest house you can get. And it's not none of that garbage. It's not. It's none of that. It's what you do for Christ will last, and it will. God will work, and it will always work out. If you were looking for a spouse, God will make it happen. But first, the first thing you need to do is seek God first, and let God work out the details like that. Because what Pastor Moore said, this was true, I don't care if you have to be 30, 35 years old and you finally get married. And if you do get married, and if you don't find a spouse, then serve God being single. Because I'm telling you, being single sometimes, honestly, it's easier. It is, because it is easier. And I can understand what Pastor was saying. It is easier when you're serving God by yourself, because you don't have the hindrance. You don't have the you know, just the background and all that stuff like that. God can still work with you on that aspect. He can. And I'm not saying that even finding a wife or a husband is a bad thing. It's a great thing. But find somebody who loves God. That's the first thing to do. That's the key. That's the key. Don't come to church and try to find somebody who don't even love God, because that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. And if you're trying to fool God, you're setting yourself a failure when you do that. You are. Don't do it. And like Pastor Moore said to young people, do not do it. Just listen to Pastor Moore. And listen to God, because God has said to find somebody in the body. That's the first thing you do. And you know, you say, Kevin, you didn't do that. You're right. I didn't do it. I didn't find somebody in the body. I didn't. But the second thing I did, I tried to find somebody who loved God. Amen. That's what I did. And I told Sway, I said, look, this is my life. This is what I do. You might call it corny. Whatever the case may be, you fill in the blank. This is what I do. And you wonder why I am the way I am, is because His word is here. This is what the word put into me. That's all. I can't do this by myself. I couldn't have. God has put this in me. He has. And all I did is yield to it. I messed up many a time. And I said, well, I can't go down that route, because that ain't work. So I finally got to yield to God and say, God would say, Kevin, do this way, because I'm stubborn. I am very stubborn. And, you know, as many of us, we try to prove God wrong in one sense. We try to say, well, we can go this route. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. So I'm trying to tell you, if you're trying to prove God wrong, don't do it. It's not going to work. It's not. It's not. It never will work. It never will work. So I'm here to tell you, Brother Kevin told you, don't do it. So don't say I didn't say anything. Don't do it. Do not do it. But I have wrote down some things here, and it's not really so much of a particular order. So the first thing I did when I was wrote down with this thing I was going to talk about, the first thing I said is the first to find a mate that knows there is a God. Because sometimes we'll choose a mate, and they don't even love God. So that's the first mistake, because if they don't even love God, why are you wasting your time? There's no sense even working that out at all. Don't even try to say this with my spouse. Don't even try to try to get married. The best thing you can do is probably just be their friend. That's all you can do. Amen. And maybe sitting around, they'll come around if they do that. But if they don't even love God and they even know there is a God, exit off. It's exit off because it ain't worth it. It's not worth it at all. It's not. So the second thing that I put here was see what the man and woman has in them, meaning like the character. Find this character about them. I mean, you know, we've been taught here too. I mean, let's talk about work with a man. If you find a man that don't even work, that right there is probably not a good sign at all. That's a sign. I mean, he don't have to have a big job making $25, $30 an hour. He could be working at McDonald's flipping burgers.
That's right.
As long as he's making an honest living, that's something maybe you should look at. Don't discredit the man for just working. You got to start somewhere.
Right.
We all had to start somewhere. You didn't just come out the womb making $30 an hour. You had to flip them burgers, you know what I'm saying, to get where you're at. So start there first. If that man or woman has that character in them, then that might be a good sign that, hey, you know what, this might be a potential mate for me in my life. So, and the third thing that I put here is don't pound God in them. Like, don't force feed them. Don't force it on them. Don't force them. Because if God's not in them, it ain't going to never be in there at all. It never will be. It never will be. So if you're doing that and you're doing it, egging it on, chances are they don't love God and no God's in them at all. So don't even waste your time even fooling with that. There's just no point in it at all. Unless there's seed of God, then it will come to pass. It will. The fourth thing that I put down is if you have to explain this best to your boyfriend or girlfriend, don't even bother dating them at all, let alone getting married. So the point that I was playing with that is if you got to, like, probe the church or prime the church or doing that stuff like that, all you're doing is creating a headache for yourself. It's all you're doing. You're making a mess of it, and it's not never going to work. It never will work. And that was one of the things I was trying to drive with Sway. And she has a Catholic background, as she has said. Her dad's a very Catholic. And at least, I said, well, at least that's something I can work with. You know what I mean? I can work with that. At least they love God. You know what I mean? I can work with that. The doctor may be wrong, which is one sense. That may be wrong, but at least her dad is always instilled with the girls to go to church. So I can say, you know what, I can at least work with that. She knows that God is at least existence, because sometimes we'll choose a mate, don't even love God. They're like, well, that ain't going to work, bub. That would not work at all. So I told her, hey, this is where I go. This is what I believe in. And I had told her, I said, hey, we believe in a prophet. And I said, a lot of people think our church is a cult because we believe in that. And with the prophet, you know, as we always said, without that prophet, we would never understand the Bible at all. I thank God for that prophet. I really do, because, you know, when I was younger, you heard Brother Branham, but you didn't really pay much mind into that. You didn't listen to it at all. But without him breaking those seals open like that, we would have never known what Revelation is at all. Because think about it. I read the Bible too, like many of us, and you have your own interpretation of that Bible. We all do. And without God revealing it to you, you would never get a revelation on it at all. You won't. And I thank God for that, because I don't want to read this Bible and put Kevin's interpretation. I want what God wants. I don't want what I want, because it's never going to work. It's not, because if that's the case, all of us can be pastors. If we had that, I mean, that ain't going to work well. So, you know, I explained to her that, and I told her, I said, you know what, hey, this is what I stand on, this is what I believe, and this is what I love. And as she started coming around, she's like, hey, you know what, you're different. And I said, Sway, the only reason why I'm different is because of this word. I ain't perfect at all. I made plenty of mistakes, and I wish I can go back and pass, like all of us. I wish I can go back and pass and change things that I've done. But we're here now. And all I know is that God's here, and God is real. He is. And he's been real in my life, and he has changed my life tremendously, because from where I was even a year ago, I've grown a lot. I really have. And it's all due to God. And I thank God for it, because I wouldn't be nowhere where I was today if it wasn't for God at all. And I can give all glory to God, because, like I said, if you yield to this, God will bring you a spouse. He will. And he will even show you what kind of character you should be looking for. And Pastor Moore has taught us all, we all know what to look for in a spouse. I mean, either a man or a woman. But the first thing you need to do is find somebody in the body. Start with there first.
Amen.
And you might say, well, I can't find nobody. The age group, this and that. Stop worrying about it. Because you know what? There's timing for everything. You might not be ready to have a spouse. So stop worrying about that. And stop worrying about that. Focus on your life. Get yourself together. Because, you know, one thing that I've learned too, you know, if you try to bring somebody here, if you can't even tell the spouse that you're what you believe in, you can't even elaborate it, you ain't ready to date nobody. You know what I mean? You can't even tell them what you believe in. So that's not a good look. If you say you love this message, and you can't even tell what you believe in, that's not a good look. It's not. Because people will say, hey, well, don't you believe this? So what does it mean? You can't say anything? It's not good. That's not. And I'm talking for myself, too. You know what I mean? That's just the truth. I was like, I can't date somebody, and I can't even tell them what I believe in, what I say I believe in. It's not a good look. It's not good at all. And I said, you know what? Lord, help me to get my understanding right with this, because I want to take it more serious to understand what this word means. I mean, from here lately, I'll be honest with you, I'm just now reading the Bible. So, I mean, I'm just now reading the Bible. So I told myself, you know what, Lord, you know what? You got to start somewhere. You do. And I know Pastor Moore has told us many a times to read your Bible. I didn't listen. Of course, being stubborn back there, thinking and all that. But when I was back there, I would try to retain it in my head. I wouldn't read, but at least I would say, hey, this is what I've been taught by Pastor Moore, Jeremiah, or Brother James, what they preach. And I would get up and just say, hey, this is what they said. You know what I mean? But when Pastor Moore tells you to read your Bible, he's saying it because you can have the understanding of this message. Because we're representing Pastor Moore. We are. And if somebody off the street say, hey, you go to 17th Force Force Superior, what does it mean? And you can't answer it?
Right.
It's not good. Think about it. It's not good. Even when we get up here and represent God, like Pastor Moore told us, to dress for your best. You can't come up here half-stepping. You can't come up here with just dirty and just don't even care about nothing like that. The world is looking at us. They are. And I'm looking at it. You know what? The world is really dependent on us because people back in Philippines and Africa, wherever the case may be, they would kill to be here. They would kill to be here. And I'm thinking, like, God, some of us is 10 minutes away, 30 minutes away. We can get to the house. Thank God for that. We do because we have a real body here. And God is in this place, if only if you yield to it. Now, if you're expecting from God to just be in the cloud somewhere and you don't expect God to be in flesh, which he is, you're going to miss God every single time. If you weren't about if he's black, if he's white, if he has dreads, he has glasses, and you miss him every single time, you're going to miss God. You're going to miss God, and you got to listen to God. What is God saying? Because God's never going to steer you wrong. He's not. If you just listen to it. But if you're just off somewhere, and if you have your mind made up, and you just think, oh, that's just Kev, or that's just Don, you miss God. You miss God every single time. And God right now is veiled in skin, and I thank God for that because I don't want to have to sit there and try to pray to the clouds or something like that. I need to call folks like, hey, I need help. Jay, what is this, man? How you help me tie a tie? How do you do this? How do you do that? I want an answer. I'm the type of person, if I need help, I need help. I don't understand how some people just somehow go around and act like they don't need help when you clearly need help. Your credit score is a wreck. Your house is a wreck. And you say you don't need help. Yeah, you need help. You need help. You may not think you do, but you need help. Satan's got a hold on you, bro, because you need help. You need help. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. If I'm messed up, say, hey, Kevin, you lack in this area. You think I'll be mad about that? No. Say, hey, okay, show me what I need to do. Because I don't want to go through this life like that. I don't. I refuse to because we're going to go through this life once. And I want to make sure I do the best that I can on this side until we go to glory. Amen. I do. I want to make sure this life that I live is the best that I can do. And I want to represent God the best way I know how. Well, I mess up. Sure, we're going to mess up. That's common sense. We're all going to mess up. The best thing to do is pick yourself up and you know what, and just strive again. Like, you know what, Lord, I messed up. Help me. Help me to be better. Be a better man. Be a better woman in this message. I want to do better. I want to do better. So I thank God for that. And like I said, I chose this because, you know, like I said, I'm getting married. And it took me a while because I didn't want to rush this. I didn't. I mean, and it wasn't because, you know, my friend did this or friends did that. This is a serious thing. This is marriage. I mean, Sway has been married before. And it's not like she didn't take her vows serious. She just had a situation in her marriage that she had to cause her to do that. So she knows that we've been taught here, like, you know, hey, this is death to us. This is it. This ain't no turning back. You got to accept me for who I am, and I got to accept you for who you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there ain't no turning back. And the best thing that we have in common right now is we love God. Amen. You didn't got to pull me to come to church. You know where I'll be at. If you can't make it, you know I'm going to be here. I'm going to bring my sorry carcass here and sit right there and listen to what the mercy is. Because I need this. I need this because it balanced my mind.
Amen.
It stables my mind. And it does, because you don't realize it stables your mind so much that you can go having a bad day. You can come in here and sit there, and all the cares in the world just go away. It don't even matter about that bill. It don't even matter about that job. It don't matter about the car. It don't matter about the kids. Nothing like that. God will ease all of that. If you just sit there and just listen, God will take all care of all of that. Just many times I've came in here, and I've had a bad day. You wouldn't even know. I sat there just dealing with my family, dealing with friends, and sat there and just listened to God, and God just dealt me right there, and I've left here better than I was the whole day.
Amen.
I mean, God has taken care of even my tiredness. There's a job that I've worked. I had to work at 2:00 in the morning. I was so dead tired when I came to church that I got here. I'm telling you what, it's like I almost slept for 10 hours because God just worked it out. He worked so much out that he allowed me to stay awake to focus on what the ministry has been saying here to help me in my life. And I thank God for that because I know it's nothing but God.
Amen.
It's nothing but God. I mean, I was like sitting there like, Lord, thank you for just helping me in my life. Thank you for just giving me this word because, I mean, it means everything. And, I mean, you might think that a marriage thing is not serious. It's a very serious thing. It is. And you cannot do this if you're not ready. And also, if you don't have God, if you don't love God, don't even think about getting married because it doesn't make any sense to do that. It's not. And Brother Moore has taught us and he showed us the way. And at the end of the day, it's your life. It's your life. You're going to do what you want to do. I mean, it's your choice. You're really, at the end of the day, it's on you. And we've got the tools here. We can't walk around like we don't have the tools, because we do. We have the tools. And I can't walk around like I didn't know this and that sort. I mean, when I asked Wade, when we got more serious, I didn't worry about if she was black, this and that, and she had a, I didn't care about all of that. All I loved, wanted to know she loved God. That was my number one thing I wanted to make sure she did. And I wanted to know, hey, this is what I believe in. Because if something was to happen to me, she's older than I am, but that doesn't mean anything. God could take me before her. So you're going to come in just because Kev gone here for X amount of years? Who cares about that? No one cares about that. You got to keep moving on. I said, Sway, if God takes me, you got to keep moving. This ain't a me or you thing. This is on you. This ain't on me. I told her that. And I've told her that and really and truly, I really thought it was a make or break thing, because I told her how serious I was about this message. I did not play games. She asked me why I didn't date. I said, well, because I didn't want to just get myself yoked up with anybody. I didn't. I mean, it's not even to look down on nobody. I just didn't want that for my life. I didn't. Life's hard enough as being single. It's hard enough. It is. So if you get somebody who don't even love God, you already create an atmosphere right now that's going to make it so much harder for yourself. It is. And it doesn't make any sense to even do that to yourself. It doesn't. So I told her, hey, this is what I believe in. This is what I stand on. This is it. Take it or leave it. This is who I am. I mean, I love this. I love the body here. I do. I mean, you guys have been such a blessing to me in my life. You don't realize it. I mean, I've watched even, I'll even speak on Jeremiah and Dwayne. You know, when they got married, I remember because I was here. You know, when they asked Sister Lise for Jeremiah and Dwayne asked for Johanna, it wasn't the prettiest thing at sight. It wasn't, because the age difference and people looking at them like this, oh my God, you know what I mean? But didn't realize God's in that. Amen. God was in it every step of the way. When people being so critical about it, they was talking so bad about it, but look where they at right now. Right. Who got the last laugh? Right. Who got the last laugh? Who really laughing now? Who laughing now? Who's laughing now? When you was worried about this and worried about that, they're still here. Right. Still here. Right. Still here strong. Still here strong. Not knowing that God was in that. We get so caught up in the thinking. And so called, we got to have the same age, got to be the same color, got to be same this, same that, got to be tall, got to be strong. Man, that's garbage. It's straight garbage. And I would tell any young people, find you somebody that loves God. Because at the end of the day, God work out all that other stuff. It will, because these muscles that you women want, give it some time, it'll be fat. It will. It will. It will. I mean, it's naturally going to happen that way. I mean, it is. And I'm not saying that you have to go find the most, if you want to call it ugly. No one's saying that. No, you know what I'm saying? No one's saying that. But that's not the most important thing. Find somebody who has character in them. That's the most important thing. Find somebody who has character. That's what you look for in a spouse. Because at the end of the day, that will work. When you find that, it will always work. We got plenty of examples here. We got Brother Jeremiah, like I said, Dwayne. We got Brother James here. I mean, a beautiful marriage is here. So you got examples here that's been through it. So you don't have to go through this life and sit there and struggle like, should I do this, should I do that? No, if they don't love God, already exit out. It ain't going to work. Don't even try it. But the first thing, find somebody in the body. And if you feel like you can't find anybody in the body, then don't focus on that. Focus on your life. God will bring you a spouse when it's time needed. It will, because I look at it now. When I was thinking about dating, Kev wasn't ready to date. He wasn't. I'll be honest, I wasn't ready to date. I was still, if you want to call it, you know, out there doing, I wasn't focused on that. But God does things in order. He doesn't think in timing. He will bring you a spouse in perfect timing. But the first thing is put God first. You do that, everything else will line up. It will. I'm telling you that because I'm a living proof of that. Because when I was trying to go over here and God was trying to bring me over here, I realized going over here didn't work when I wasn't listening to God. But I was like, you know what? God's right. So let me just go on over here real quick, because this is where I need to be at. Because God's telling me do this. Don't put your thinking on it. And I've done it so many times, and it does not work when you put your thinking on it. It doesn't. And I'm telling you from just personal experience, when you try to think you're no more than God, it will fail. It will fail. So don't even bat an eye. Don't even do it. Just stay behind the ministry. Stay with Pastor Moore. Jeremiah J is telling you. Just listen to it and yield to it, because it will bless your home. It will bless you. It will. And I mean, I thank God for it. I can't stress it enough. You know, I didn't want to be up here very long. I just want to talk about, you know, where God has helped me with as far as that. You know, all I can say is, you know, I'm looking forward to get married, and the best thing I do, at least I try to find somebody who loved God. That's what I wanted. I mean, I didn't find somebody in the body. I didn't, but I told her I wanted to find somebody who at least loved God. And God will work everything else out. He will. And I trust God enough, and we got a man of God right here. That's what I wanted. I wanted a man of God to bless my marriage, because my thing is, we got two believers. So if we got problems, guess what? Hey, Pastor Moore, I need help. I need help. Help me out right here. I got answers. So we don't have to go through this life. Me and Sway don't have to go through this life to try to figure out if we stumble, whatever the case may be. I may get on her nerves and say, hey, you know what, Pastor Moore, Kevin's getting on my nerves. I need help. You know what I mean? We got answers. We don't have to go through anything. We don't. Think about it. And we got plenty of examples here that's been married. Like I said, we got plenty of examples here. So none of us have to go through anything at all and struggle at all. So I thank God for it. And like I said, I thank God that Pastor Moore has allowed us to get up and testify and get up and preach. Because God, you know, Pastor Moore didn't have to do this. He don't. Because, like I said, we're representing him. We are. So, you know, I thank God he's allowing us even to talk about what we believe in and what we stand on. Because, you know, many of years, you know, I've sat there, and he's been saying this for so long, and it finally came to pass, you know what I mean? And I thank God that God's allowing us to speak. Like I said, man or woman, we've got the full word of God here on the scene. We do. We got God in us. We do. And another thing I say, too, you know, when you get up here, and you might say, well, my flesh is doing to get up. I don't like getting up either. I don't. I'm being honest, I don't. I'm not a best speaker, but I just do what God's, I just leave, go and get up here and just whatever God lays on my heart, and then I sit down. That's all I do. Because at the end of the day, sitting there ain't going to do no bit of good. It's not. It's not. If God's done something to you, get up and get back to the body. Get back to the body. Because you don't realize, you sitting right there, something that you've gone through, it can help a brother or sister out. There's many a times your guys testified, and I sat there, and I'm thinking, Lord, God bless him. That helped me out. You didn't even realize, you helped me over the years. You guys don't even realize how much you guys have impacted my life over the years just watching you guys. Because I watch. I don't know if you guys know. I pay attention a lot. It's pretty scary. I watch. And I watch you guys. I do. I do. Because you know what? You guys have been an example to me. Even young or old, I don't care. Black, white, whatever. You guys have been an example to me. And I hope that I've been the same to you guys. I really genuinely, when I say I love you guys, I love every one of you guys. I do. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you guys. I'm honored to even serve God with you guys, because it's a blessing. We're a strong, rugged, crippled Christians. We are, man. And you don't realize we're strong here, man. We are. I thank you guys, and thank you, Pastor Moore, for allowing me to get up, because I did text him and say, hey, is it okay? You know, because I didn't want to be disobedient like that. But, you know, God's been dealing with me, and I don't want to sit on God. I don't. God's been too good to me. And if I got up here just say 10 minutes or something like that, then so be it. So I thank you guys. I love you. Next brother.
Amen. I tell you what, God works in mysterious ways. Amen. I love it. I love the fact, you know, I started off this week, and, you know, I want to be reverent. I want to take it seriously. You know, it's funny how I got up here is because I was at a family function, and, you know, God told me, he's like, you know, I want to hear you again. I want to be up. I want to edify the body. I made notes, and they made notes on notes and crossed other notes out. But, you know, because I've listened over and over again. And, when we talk about promises, you're talking about benefits. Yeah. And I love, nothing excites me more about hearing about benefits. Because that's a gift. That's a Amen. Gift to you. That's a personal thing that you get. But then I also realized you can't even get the gifts or the promises if you don't have the word. That's right. That's the most important thing. You got to get the word. You know, it's funny because they're talking about, you know, John 1:1, God's in his word. God, in the beginning, God was in the word. God is the word. I love that. But the one thing I thought about this is everybody wants the promises of God. If you don't have his word, you haven't found God. Amen. Until you find his words, the promises aren't yours. Right. Any promise made to you is made by man, and that promise can't be broken. But I tell you, I come in today, and there are promises that cannot be broken. Unconditional covenant. Yeah. I was reading about, they talked about Hebrews 6. You know, for when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear no greater. That's right. Who does God swear on? Right. We even say it now, we say it for fun, I swear to God. Right. But I truly understand, God knows so great, he swore to himself.
Amen.
He said, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply these. And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Amen. The promise. And he endured. That's the thing, though. It's funny because I got a call from my manager today, and she was like, well, we're cutting your hours. We're going to cut you from, you know, your 40 to
20. And I was like, oh, how quickly. I was like, oh, Lord, how quickly. How quickly. I was like, oh, it must be this, it must be that. But like that, I was like, no. What are you trying to do? Because I remember here, Brother Moore had made a business.
Right.
Came in on a Wednesday, or Wednesdays, and he was out of the business.
Right.
And he says, I want no harm come to them. No right. harm. So if my example is like that, right. Lord, where are you moving?
Right.
We ask so much to God to move in our lives, but when he starts moving, we want to be like, oh, no, I can't do it. You put someone's feet to the fire, you're like, oh, no, God doesn't love me. Or like, oh, the devil played a trick on me today. No. God wants preeminence.
Right. Amen.
God will. You say, let me give God my hands. Let me give God my feet. Let me be a willing vessel.
Right.
As soon as it inconvenience the flesh, no. You're out.
Watch out.
You got to be careful what you ask for. You ask for long suffering endurance. Sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. There's power in our words.
Amen.
You forget who you are. You're out here with God in flesh, and you're gonna sit here and be like, well, Lord, let me be a willing vessel. And then you lose your job the next day. You're like, oh, God wasn't with me.
Right.
God's not with you just in the ups.
Come on.
He's not with you when you get a brand new car, and it's the devil when you fall down.
Uh-uh.
I look at Job. Job, right. You haven't lost kids. You're not picking boils. You haven't. Your house hasn't burnt down. No one's asked you to curse God.
Right.
He just asked to work a little less.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all. Uh-huh. And maybe it's a blessing.
Amen.
But that's the thing, though, is you have to endure.
Right.
You have
right.
to stand on his promises.
Amen.
You know, I love the fact that you said God swore by it. You need to be patient.
That's right.
You need to be patient.
Amen.
We always want things to come in our time.
Right.
And then we start talking about our time, you start talking about our thinking and our circumstances.
Sure.
And like Brother Kevin said, we put God in a box.
Right.
We's like, you know what, God, I'll give you Monday and we'll do Wednesday night and maybe Sundays. We'll see. We'll see. And then when we need something, we're like, oh, God, you need to move in my life right now.
Right.
But you know, it's the funny thing, though, is he's always there.
Always.
Even if you want to treat him like that and only benefit from him three times a week,
right.
he'll still be there.
Amen.
Because that unconditional covenant. You know, I love that he said, talking about Abraham, Galatians 3:29, says, and if ye be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. And then you're the heirs according to the promise. You read this. My original thought was like, I'm going to show, you know, what Brother Moore called common revelation. You know, the things, these promises. And then I was going to say, oh, but and when the seven seals opened up, I see more promises.
Amen.
But then I realized they all come together.
Amen.
These promises that God's given me, when you truly, you know, I was, let me just come over here. So we talk about just some things, to, you know, lift us, uplift ourselves. You know, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ.
Amen.
And one that's I've been dealing with my daughter recently was Acts 2:38. You know, it says repent and be baptized.
Amen. Right.
Repent. That's a promise.
Amen.
If you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it's the funny thing, though, is it's not like, oh, well, you know, I need to give up my smoking problem or my drinking problem.
Right.
No. If you believe.
Right.
If you only believe.
Amen.
Brother Branham always used to say, if you only believe. That's the only thing he asks, is if you just believe.
Right.
When the woman that says, go and sin no more, it wasn't, hey, you can't do this. He didn't put a condition on it.
No.
He said, go and sin no more.
Right.
You, now that you see me, now that you drink this water that you'll never thirst again, go and sin no more.
Right.
You. And the funny thing, though, is once that birth happens, you can't do anything but not sin.
Amen.
It's in you. The change has already happened.
Amen.
You can't even depart if you wanted to.
Amen.
As much as I have personally tried in my life to try to go the other way, you can.
Amen.
And all you do is you just make a mess of it.
Amen.
But I tell you, but once you truly get yourself out of the way and be yielding yourself, and it's funny because it's never a loud thunder. It's always a small voice.
Yeah.
It's always like, well, we're just going to change this.
Amen.
We're just going to alter this.
Right.
You know, I love that. And I was reading this, and this is the one I really liked up here, because we talk about the bride, because I've already tied myself to the bride.
Amen.
So anything that talks about the bride, talks Amen. About her, I see myself.
Amen.
I love, that's what I really love. But it says right here, I personally like to look up words because when the Bible uses some of these old languages, I don't know. So it says 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God's are in our." I was like, "Is that yeah without the H?" It's yeah. "And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Amen. Yeah is an affirmative answer. It's unequivocal. Unequivocal. Right, right. That means that the promise are God's, they're mine. That's without right. question, without concern, without circumstances, without condemnation.
Right.
Whatever you place on me, those promises are mine.
Amen.
And we know what those promises are. That's what I love about it. It's not the fact like, well, is it just, we're talking eternal life. We're talking eternal security.
Yeah. Right.
We're talking about a body change.
Amen.
We're talking about taking our loved ones in.
Yeah.
These are real promises. I love what I put over here with those who do like the revealed, you know, revelation of the building of the bride, promise of the rapture, you know, Thessalonians 4:16, when the Lord heard shall descend from heaven with a shout, done, all right,
yeah.
with the voice of an archangel, done. So really all I'm looking for, as God said just a little bit ago, the recent God, you know, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall raise, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. That's a promise.
Amen.
That's a promise I could hold on to.
Amen.
That I get to see my loved ones, and I'll be changed in a moment of a twink. That is really fast. You mean time? You don't even blink, don't even know it.
That's right.
I also love with eternal security, because at that point you start talking a little bit different. When you lose your job, when you can't make things, life's too short. You're not this body. You're not coming here like, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, please touch me.
Right.
We get up and we're edifying the body.
Amen.
Every single testimony gets here and edifies the body.
Yeah.
It's not, I remember, I've been here for quite some time, and I remember when some of the, it wasn't always that way.
That's right.
But you know what? It is now.
Yeah.
I love, what's done is done.
Right.
What's
yeah.
done is done.
Right.
Knowing your day in this age, that's a promise.
Amen.
That's a promise. But that's a promise to the bride.
Amen.
That's a promise for the elect. They, you know, they maybe, oh, if it's, you know, sanctification, glorification, I'll stick to that. I can go back. I can see, well, I know that prophet was. I know him by name. I know the dates. I know the church age.
Amen.
I know it all.
Amen.
I look over here. I'm like, well, we have to have a rapture. There should be a battle of Gog and Magog.
Right.
That's a lot of promises.
Amen.
But one of the most, one of the biggest things that really excites me about the promises is that upper room experience.
Oh, yeah.
When you start talking about, that's a special thing because, you know, Brother Moore said on Sunday, you, the bride is the only one that understands the revelation of Romans 7. And if you look at Romans 7, I never read Romans 7. So I went back and read it. I was like, that's rough. That's rough. I thought it was going to be like, oh, yeah, let's hear it. I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, sex. Ooh. And I realized I was like, that old man can't be there with the new man.
No.
I have to have a new birth.
Amen.
And it's not just, oh, well, you just go, we'll just keep you here, and then the new man. There has to be a complete eradication of that nature.
Yes,
there has to be a change.
Yes,
and I was thinking, I was like, you know what? At first, I was like, I'm going to call this staking your life on the promises. But I'm like, you have to stake your life on the Word.
Amen.
You have to stake your life on the Word because the Word is the only thing that will get you through.
Well,
we're over here trying. I listen to Sunday service, and I guess I really am crazy, Seth. I'm over here yelling and shouting, talking about trying to find yourself in a mega church and whatnot. God is in flesh.
Yes, he is.
God doesn't look, I'm not the prettiest person. I'll speak for myself about that before I start offending some people. You know, God's, we're in a small,
right.
small building
right.
in the rough side of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
We have all the windows, though, that's going for us. We have all the tires, but, you know, we don't sing the best. We don't look the best. My life's not the most prettiest thing. I've made mistakes, but yet there is something within me.
Amen.
Something within me
Amen.
That is greater than anything in the world. Something within me that gets me up. He
Amen.
Gives me breath. He gives me a purpose. Everybody else looking here for gurus and Facebooks and Twitters for answers, I have God.
Amen.
I can come down off this pulpit. I can touch God many times over.
Yes,
I can go in here with an expectation knowing that if I'm going to get an answer,
that's right.
I know what questions to even ask. That's not even debatable. These promises, if you choose to apply them, will bless your life.
Yes, they will.
Choosing of a bride, choosing of a church, coming to church.
Amen.
Let's just start getting in the doors.
Amen.
You come in the doors there and with an expectation of where God is at.
Right.
Because you can come in these doors, you can sit in these pulpits, and you could rot, yes. There's been people who come in here and didn't know where God was at.
Right.
Over here looking at Michael, I don't see any blessings in here.
Uh-huh.
That's your fault.
Right.
It's a blessing to me.
Right.
It's a blessing to me to see Brother Jay get up here and walk.
Right.
Because part of me has knowledge and knows what he went through.
Yeah.
And I thank God because he was able to let me just put myself aside. You know, because when I come up here, I want to take it seriously. God's been too good. I see God moving in my on a physical level.
Yeah.
I see God moving in my life.
Yeah.
You know, it where things would have originally just, oh man, I need to, because you start thinking, oh, you know, we're not lazy men. We have to provide for our family.
Right.
But you got to have a job to provide for the family.
Right.
I'm not worried about it because God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's the thing, though, is you can't get up here and say, oh, I believe this thing. But as soon as the fire starts to come on, you can't just be like, well, I guess, oh, Lord, I can't do it.
Right.
Or let me do it this way. What? It's not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
All things work together for them that believe. But we want to put them in a box. We want to put circumstances on them. We want God to look like us. Furthest part of it is I don't want God to look anything like me. I want to be more like him. It's funny because we were in the car today coming here, and Taylor asked Michelle, why are you getting baptized? It's because you're dealing with God? And Jackson was like, no, God's dealing with her.
Amen.
We don't seek God. God seek
right.
me. I had, it's nothing. It's not something you can do. There has to be eternal representation in you. Because you can come over and hear that word. And you can come into this church. We can fill this pews up, thousands of people. And if there's no representation in them, it doesn't make any difference. It's just a waste of space.
Amen.
We're just filling up with hot bodies. We're not about numbers. That's what I love. I was reading over here with Choosing the Bride, with Brother Branham talking about, you know, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's character.
Amen.
We're looking at character. I love how he said this. I think it's in my face. He said he was a little old, stoop-shouldered, ruddy-looking fellow.
That's right.
He wasn't pretty. He wasn't pretty. But God chose by character.
Right.
Character was there was never character like Jesus Christ. It lived in him, manifest him. See, it's true. It's not worldly beauty. See, Brother Kevin, it's not worldly beauty. It's that character. I didn't even know how this even fit in. And lo and behold, you're talking about character of a woman.
Right.
Said church, not whether it's a big building, whether it's a great denomination, whether it's big memberships. He promised to meet with whenever two or three are gathered. He didn't even ask for many numbers. He said two or three. I have myself and I have the new man inside. That's two. There's not many. I mean, I can't tell you times I've talked to myself on the way to work. Like, Lord, thank you. Like, let me be reverent. Let me take this seriously. He says two or three are gathered. Truly, that is where the true believer rests his hope. It's upon the word of God being vindicated in truth. What is it? Chooses by his word. Not a worldly loving group. They hate that. No wonder she is divorced from him, because she's missed his revelation. And she won't have it, even if she tried. He cares for her not. That's the way she acts and what she does and the worldly stuff that she has. That's what I love about this message, is this: it gives you peace. When life comes at you, and life comes at us all.
Oh, yeah.
Life comes at us fast. I mean, our life is only, an average, 74 years on this earth, if you don't run into problems, which most of us do.
Amen.
Because you know what's going to happen is your faith will be tested.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You will be tested.
Amen.
And the thing, though, is you need to, and for so many times I think, oh, it's the devil's really getting me. The devil's got me. Devils don't got me. The devil doesn't have me.
Amen.
And this is one of the ones that kind of, you know, I was thinking about this is, what is a promise? I looked it up because I like to know what, just instead of just throwing words around, what it means. It says, assure someone. that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something. It's a declaration. And I was like, what's it? Sure. Tell something positively, confidently, to dispel all doubts. Amen. So I'm blessed assurance. Yes. Blessed assurance. And I'm not going to stay up here and talk about all these. I had scriptures. The one that I really liked about was John 6, 47 through 51, talking about, verily, verily, I say unto you, you know, talk about that living flesh. Talking about that, you know, God in flesh. Amen. It's one thing to talk about God, you know, you see him in the scriptures, but I love the fact that I can sit out there and I can touch God. I can ask God questions. I can, you know, I can commune with God. Talking about, you know, Abraham with Melchizedek, I can come down, I can, hey, what are you doing today? You want to actually get a physical bite to eat. Right. Let's talk about it. Let's fellowship on these things. Amen. I love these opportunities because we can come up here and like Brother Kevin said, we get to tell you what we believe. Right. We get to express something. Right. And it really, all we're doing is expressing what's in us, which is God. You can't help but express it. Amen. So, I thank you for an opportunity and amen. Amen.
Here. I was looking at Brother Kevin and Brother Seth tonight, and they were my first Sunday school graduating class with Brother Adam Joel, and I want him back. But I was thinking about those three, and that was in 2001. And a week from this Sunday, Brother Jonathan and Sister Riley will be graduating from Sunday school. But yeah. I love this place. This is my favorite place in the world, and I'm excited just to be in front of y'all and just talk about a couple things that are on my mind. But on Sunday, Brother Moore talked about his unfailing words of promise, and just a couple of the notes that I wrote down that I just wanted to go back over that stood out to me. It said, get closer to God. Look through the words for your promises. They are ours. Brother Kevin was talking about spouses, and Johanna was trying to encourage me this week. She was sending me promises. She was reading those scriptures. That's what a good spouse does. They want to put you over. So you look for the right thing because that's what will help you in this life. It's not possible for God to lie. And it's not possible for the devil to tell the truth. So I think that's. And Brother Moore also talked about it's impossible for me to be lost. And I love that. And that's that assuredness. God promised us eternal life. And then Brother Moore said when he first got here, he told Brother Childers, said, you don't have it. He goes, I may not have it, but I want it. And whatever you do, maybe you're new here and this is different, but just keep going after it. Just you can get it. Amen. And he said, I may not have it, but I want it. I'm going to get it, he said. Amen. He said, your best friend should be in the body. Right. And I wrote Luke and Daisy and Lily this morning. They're starting school tomorrow. I'm like, you're going to have a lot of friends in school. But I want your best friends to be in this body because that's the word of God. It's not because they're your cousins, but it's because it's the word of God. Amen. You keep them as your best friends. And I'm not going to spend any time on the spouse because Kevin already took care of that. But one of the scriptures, Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I got to listen to a couple of Brother Branham's messages, and one that I really liked was God Keeps His Word from 1958. And he spent a lot of the time on talking about Simeon and how he had received from the Holy Spirit that he would see the baby Jesus in his lifetime. And when he heard that, that was a promise from God. So he knew that in his lifetime, he would have to see that Savior come forth. And it did manifest. And I love that he did not waver. And it was in Luke. I'm not going to spend much time, but it said, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And it was just talking about those promises, because if God tells you something, you can build your foundation right there. And just, if Brother Branham said, if God said to do it, just go ahead and do it. Amen. And you can just lean on God. And I think my favorite part of this message was a story that he told about a man from the South, and I'm just going to read it. I'm sorry for the reading, but it really touched me. There was a story of a man that loved God, and he believed all his word. He was more of an unlearned man. And he said, the boss looked at him and said, what do you carry that Bible for? He said, boss, I believe it. He said, but you can't read. What do you carry it for? He said, I carry it because I believe it from cover to cover. I think it said timber to timber. I didn't know what that meant. And he said, I believe the cover also said, because it's got the Holy Bible on it, somebody tells me. He couldn't even read it. And I know that it can't fail, for it's God's promises. He said, do you believe he keep all those promises? I most certainly do. What if God would tell you to jump through that stone wall? What would you do? I'd jump. How could you get through it if there's no hole in it? He said, if God told me to jump, he'd have the hole there when I got there. That's right. God keeps his promise. And God's going to create a hole for us one day. We are going to get out of this thing. He's promised us that. We're going to see our loved ones, and I believe that. And just a couple other things from Brother Branham in Perseverance in 1963. He said, I know this one thing. When you're dead sure that you're in the will of God, when you're dead sure you've centered in Calvary, nothing is going to move you. You're there. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith finds the source. And it said the first thing you have to do is, if you're going to find Christ, you have to know that you got a need of him.
Yeah.
And I wrote, like, I need the Lord. I need him every hour. And just search for him diligently.
Amen.
In Matthew 7 and 7 through 8, it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. And I'm going to read one more quote, and then I'll get to the scripture, and I will wrap up. I know there's a lot to do tonight. Brother Branham said, that's the way you want to get God. Be on his hands every morning, every night, every day, all the time, constantly. Just keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Just don't knock a little while and get tired and go away. Just keep standing there. Lord, here I am. I'm not going to leave. I'm on your hands now.
Amen.
I'm going to stay right here. Are you getting tired of listening? I'm having a great time knocking because I know you're coming. That's when something happens. He has to get you off his hands. He comes out to answer you. Now faith finds this. And I'm just going to read, if you want to turn with me, it's St. Luke chapter 18. I'm just going to read 1 through 8. It's talk just really quickly on the unjust judge and the widow. And he said, he spake a parable unto this, and that men ought always pray and find no, not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and he shall not, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? And I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? And just a couple of things I wrote down. How much more will our righteous husband respond to our prayers and our pleas versus an unjust judge? Because we have the best husband. And as we diligently seek God, Brother Morris told us to get closer to God, read and pray, and that'll get you closer. And not just to read and pray, but be specific in our prayers just recently. He said, be specific. And on Sunday night, be instructed that our words have weight. And as we bind and loose, be careful what comes out of our mouths. And then I'm just going to wrap up as we diligently seek him. A couple of weeks ago, I feel like the Son of Man gave us 10 pointers to get closer to God. I'm just going to go over those again because I went over it with Sunday school. Have a praise and worship. Repent and be baptized. Sister Michelle was listening. Have faith in God. Get to the house. Brother Moore said this over and over. The best prescription is to get here, assemble ourselves together. If we don't have charity or love, we are nothing. It's not in your abilities, but you're yielding. God's gift find their place in the body, or you wouldn't be here. You have a job to do. Die daily. The zeal of the hours is the same wrong. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. Put this revelation into action. The bride will turn quickly to God and to enjoy this walk.
I thought we got away from the Ten Commandments. They got 10 right there. If you can do those 10, you've done a good thing. I didn't get a chance. You read them so fast, I didn't get to write them all down. But All I know is get to the house. You get to the house, you get, I'm glad that's one of them, because it's like, you get to the house, you'll get everything you need. And the thing, that the common denominator that I saw between all the three brothers getting up is being diligent. Whether it's looking for a spouse, whether it's serving God, whatever it is you're doing. We're not just haphazardly serving God, just coming in here and just flippantly doing it. You give it your best shot. You diligently seek Him. If you want something from God, diligently seek Him. Don't just seek Him. Some people just seek Him. That ain't enough. It ain't enough just seek Him, come to the house and just come here and sit on a bench. Be diligent. Just steadfast, unmovable. That's what the Bible says. And you know what, Seth? I've lost jobs. I remember one time I lost one job. I forget where. Oh, I got laid off from ShopSmith. And I had a sister come by my house. And she was going to encourage me because she just knew I was down and out because I lost my job. I got laid off. She came over and I told her, said, no. This is God. This is God's doing this, you know. And when you're looking at things and you can find God, if you're a believer, you can find God in any situation. If you're looking for Him, He's there because He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. So He's always there. So when you run into adverse situations, don't look at the situation. Look and see what God's up to. I mean, that woman at the well, she was in a really bad situation. But when she got a hold of God and God got hold of her, she forgot about her not being a virgin. She forgot about her water pots. Water pots are real important in that day. That was the way you lived. You had to have water pots. She left her water pots, meaning her very life didn't mean nothing to her then. See, that's diligent. That's somebody that's diligent. And when you come here, you be diligent. Don't take a back seat. Don't say, well, let somebody else do it. Oh, no, you do it. And don't sit back and say, well, I don't know, it's not important. It is important. Well, I don't know if I need to. You do need to. You know, I'll let somebody else. Nobody's getting, you know what? Do God like y'all drive. You never let nobody get in front of you. Do God that way. You know, be diligent about serving Him. Find the right mate. And if the right mate ain't found, realize it must not be for me. The scripture's for that. And if you do find the right mate, make sure it's the right mate. And then you serve God together. The reason we are here is not to really just have a bunch of family, kids, and enjoy life. We're here to do the will of God. And if that will of God means you have a wife, then that means He wants you to have one that's going to serve God with you. Not, He don't need you to put an anchor down when you're trying to go. You're dragging an anchor trying to put the sails up and dragging an anchor. That's what you do when you get somebody that's unequally yoked. You got God blowing the wind trying to get you across the lake and you got the anchor dragging you down. It ain't worth it. You lose in the long run. But it's doable. There's people that love each other don't even serve God. You don't have to serve God to love each other. There's a lot of good people who they're atheists. Good couples, married a long time, love each other. But see, that's not what we're here for. If you want to just love each other, that's short-sighted. You want to do only what you do for Christ will last. Diligently seek Him. Find out what the will of God is for your life. That was me. I told God, I said, oh, Lord, if I don't marry by 25, I ain't going to marry. I'd already made up my mind. I got married at 25. You know, if God wants you to get married, He'll make sure it happens. If He doesn't, don't fret. If you're not supposed to have a spouse, because He wants you free enough to be flexible enough to do what He wants. You got a spouse, you got to check with somebody before you do something. Maybe God don't want you to do that. So, you know, but be diligent in whatever state you're in. Be content with that and serve God right where you're at. That's the best advice we can give you. So we got a baptism tonight. So Jeremiah and Michelle, if y'all want to go your ways and get ready. And musicians, if you want to come, we'll sing. I enjoyed that, brothers. Somebody say something? Oh, you? Oh, go ahead, man. You? Okay. Anybody else want to get baptized? Look like the water's troubled tonight.
Yeah.
Come on. Here's water. What hinders you? What the Ethiopians, you know, they want to make sure they get it done and get it done right. That's good. So, amen. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yesterday, I kind of lost my voice at Kings Island, screaming on rides. But if there's ever a doubt that God is with you all the time, He really is. So while I was on that ride, He said, "You scream like this on this ride. What about screaming for me?"
That's right.
And so I could not get out of here today without saying, "Thank you, God, for bringing me to this message."
Amen.
And I also want to say, when Brother Jay testified that first time he came back, he said a whole lot of things. But what stuck out for me is that he had to push to get to where he is today. And I felt really bad because I'm somewhat healthy, and I didn't have a push to get off that couch and do what I needed to do to keep my health intact. And so I just encourage us, if you are healthy right now, take advantage of that.
That's right.
Because we never know when something like that could happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to get up and thank God that I have my voice and He got me from off those rides.
David.
I just want to thank God. You know, He is so good, and He's the realest of the real.
Yes, He is.
And, you know, I was born in this message, but that's not an excuse, because there came a time where you got to take it for yourself.
That's right.
And I thank God for that. And I thank God for His word and everything that He does. He's real, and I love it. And I love you guys. I love this word. And I'm looking forward to God, what He does next.
Amen.
I just wanted to get up here and give glory to His name for my mother's healing and for everything that we go through, because no matter what we go through, it's Him, and we just got to believe and trust in Him all the way. Otherwise, we'll fall down a big hill.
Amen.
So glory to His name.
Amen. I think you're ready, aren't you? So we'll sing after. How about that? I don't want to hold you up.
Well, it's an honor to be here tonight, and kind of a privilege to get to baptize some of my family members. I'm actually enjoying it. So
amen.
God's been good, and it's good to see another young person want to get baptized. It means somebody's listening to the word. So God bless Sister Michelle.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for everything You've done for us, Lord, for the word this evening, for talking to us once again.
Yes, Father.
Thank You for Sister Michelle here, Lord. She's heard Your word. She wants to repent and be baptized in Your name. We ask that You bless her, Lord. Continue to grow her in her life and strengthen her. Grow stronger in service for You. Let her light so shine when she goes to school. Let her light shine to her family, Lord, to her brothers and sisters. God bless her life. Thank You for Sister Michelle. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Sister Michelle, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Bless. We got Brother Seth. God bless our brother.
Yes, Lord.
All right, Brother Seth. So we'll move forward here.
All right.
I'm going to take down. You try to help bring yourself up with me, all right? Dear God, thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We have Brother Seth here this evening. He's wanting to get baptized. We appreciate our brother, Lord. You can see that you're moving his life and inspiring him, Lord, and he's enthused about you. Thank you for using him. Thank you for letting him talk to us tonight, Lord. We ask that you bless Brother Seth, Lord. He's trusting in you, Lord. We ask that you give him his desires of his heart. Bless him at his home. Bless him with his family. Bless him with his kids. Bless him at his job. But most importantly, Lord, he's wanting to serve you.
Yes.
Bless him in his service to you. Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. Brother Seth, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I'm saying, you are my king. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my king, should die for me? That's in the key of D. I'm forgiven because you are forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my king, should die for me? That you, my king, should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I'll honor you. In all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive. And I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me. God, you died and rose again. Amazing. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love. Amazing love, oh, amazing love.